Welcome everybody to the week one Jim and Kyle Fantasy Football Extraordinaire podcast with special guest host Justin Huebner. How's it going, Justin?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Good. I did lose a fantasy, but you know,
yeah,
shit happens. It was a heartbreaking loss. We'll get into that when the time comes. But at least the Packers did good. Not even good. Great.
Yeah, I haven't seen Green Bay, especially on defense, just dominate like that in a long time.
That was the first time since I really paid attention to football, at least, that I was like excited every time our defense went on the field.
I mean, other than the insane touchdown catch by Tesla, really, at no point did I ever think the Lions were even threatening. It was awesome to watch Green Bay just swarm around the football. That just every play, they gobbled up that running game, and that was supposed to be a question mark with Kenny Clark going to Dallas, and yeah, I wasn't. There's no worries at all.
Yeah, I mean, that was the. I believe they were the number one scoring offense rolling off of last season's, averaging over 30 points a game, and Green Bay basically shut them down. It was insane. And yeah, like you said, the run game with those Sonic and Knuckles there was their big threat, and they didn't do much. Without Kenny Clark, they didn't seem to miss a beat.
No, I know watching, I especially paid attention to Devontae Wyatt and Colby Wood.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they both did. I mean, as long as they can just eat up blocks, Gary, Van Ness, and Parsons are going to go nuts.
Yeah, that's not even to mention, Cooper. I watched some of the defense back, and Cooper was a goddamn animal out there. I mean, his tracking of where to be was just impressive. He had 12 tackles that game, because every time the ball was going anywhere, he was right on the heels. That guy's looking like he's going to be a superstar linebacker.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time Green Bay had an inside linebacker like him. I mean, I think he blows even AJ Hawk out of the water.
Yeah, and I mean, this is only his second year, and it was really the end of last year where we started seeing this, and he picked up this year right where we left off. He looks better than he did last year. I heard he put on some weight, like 10 to 15 pounds, not like bad weight. Like, he looks like a jacked human being now.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard even Parsons is giving him shout out just because of how dominant he was.
Yeah, he seems to love Cooper. He seems to love. He has a lot of faith in Lucas Van Ness, which is good, I guess, for Lucas Van Ness, because he hasn't done much so far since he's got here.
No,
so maybe he can learn some things from Parsons, and if Van Ness can take a next step up finally, just yeah, unreal.
I was surprised at how often Van Ness was playing on the inside and how well he was playing on the inside. I hope they keep that up.
Yeah, I mean, that we haven't really talked about it, but also, yeah, Micah Parsons is out there too. He doesn't have a lot of stats, honestly, to speak of for what he did. But I mean, the guy brought the pressure.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he got his one sack, but that's really it. He wasn't really involved in any other tackles, but he was pushing guys back. He was getting around, and he was creating very short windows of opportunity for Jared Goff to try to get anything downfield at all.
I think I saw somewhere that on the 29 defensive snaps that Micah Parsons played, of those pass plays, Jared Goff only had like 2.3 seconds to throw the football. Like, that's like, even if he doesn't get credited with a pressure, like, that's just nuts, because he was either beating Penei Sewell, or when they had two guys on him, it opened up for anyone else to. It's just, God, it was awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, yeah, it was just awesome to watch. Like, I've heard the Reggie White days were like kind of like this, but I mean, I was too young at the time. I think I was like 9 years old when he got on the team. So, you know, like, number one, I didn't really watch football much back then, but when you do, it's you're not really appreciating. I don't know. You don't have the full grasp of it at that age, I guess. So I didn't get to enjoy those days. So watching a defense that I'm excited to see go on the field is another experience I've never had as a Packer fan. Our defense has always been so bad.
Yeah, and it'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens now that, like, Jordan Love and the rest of the offense, if they can, you know, just relax and have faith that defense, you know, if they don't make a play or whatever, the defense is going to be there and they can just relax and do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Jordan Love, we didn't really talk about the offensive side of the ball, but yeah, Jordan Love looked pretty good. Early on, he did have a bad overthrow to Kraft on like the second throw of the game. And then he did have that. I mean, there were two throws that, I mean, one was picked, but luckily we got a defensive holding call to overturn that one, because that was a pick six.
Yeah.
So, was that Brian Branch that took that one?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was Branch.
And then there's another one that went right off the hands of somebody. I can't remember who it was, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't the cleanest game from Jordan Love, but I mean, it was good enough to get the job done. We didn't have a lot of running action for the whole first half. It wasn't really until kind of clock management time at the end where Jacobs really started getting rolling.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising in the first half that they weren't really able to get the ball rolling with the running game. And yeah, other than the two overthrows and the pick six that got called back, I really don't think Jordan Love had any other bad throws. I thought he had a really good game. I think I saw they only had one drop. That was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, if they can just hold on to the football, catch it. Oh, man. I don't see a lot of defenses being able to stop this offense either.
Yeah, sky's the limit. And, I mean, keep in mind, too, like, last season, the Lions had one of the best defenses in the NFL until everybody got hurt. Like, in the second half of the season, yeah, they weren't that hot anymore. But early on, when everyone was available, cause, I mean, they lost, like, by the end of the season, they were down, like, six starters, I believe, on their defense, which that's going to kill any defense and make them look, you know, second tier. But early in the season, when they were healthy, they were fantastic, and that's who we were up against this week, was their elite defense from last year. So to, you know, to still put up 27 and have a good game is pretty impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the way that defense is looking, you might not need to score more than 20 points a game, to be honest.
There's that, too. You don't have the pressure of needing to score 30 every game anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess on the... And I wanted to talk to Jim about this week, and maybe we will at some point, but I'm clearly wanted to hear his opinion of what this game was more about. Was it the Packers looking just elite, essentially, or was this the Lions looking not great with their new O-line and their new offensive and defensive coordinators? Because, I mean, that the three interior guys on their line are all new to the team. And they got abused pretty heavily. I mean, that was kind of the story of the game. You had Parsons pressuring on the edge, and the guys were just busting through the middle every play.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm pretty sure the Lions, I think, get the Bears week two, so they get back to back division games. It'll be that's gonna be interesting to see if how the Lions look, if they come out looking like last year, or if maybe that loss of Frank Ragnow plus the coordinator changes are gonna have an effect this year. I would like to think that they're gonna be same old Lions next week, just beat up the Bears, but yeah, I guess we'll see. Time will tell.
I think there's still too much talent on that team for them to not be a good team. Like, lose your coordinators or not, just there's too many talented players there to not put it together. And Dan Campbell's a good coach. He's proven that since he's been there.
Yeah.
I mean, he built this team out of nothing, essentially, and they've been a force to be reckoned with for the last 3 years.
Let's kind of have to figure, I mean, they've been going into week one essentially not planning on having Micah Parsons being across the side of the football.
True.
So I, you know, kind of have to wonder game plan wise, you know, if that affected any of what they were going to do on offense, if they had to make any last minute changes, or I don't know.
But I mean, they had Sewell. But I got to say, like, it was awesome watching Parsons go up against Sewell, because Sewell's one of the best tackles in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's definitely top five, if not higher. And Parsons was putting him on his ass and spinning around him. I mean, that was like a great versus a great. And it seemed like Parsons was the one coming out on top.
Yeah, most of the time. And it seemed like any time Parsons was on the field, he was up against Sewell. I think Sewell's a right tackle, so he would have been on the left side of Green Bay's line. But yeah.
Parsons was in the middle once, at least, I know.
Yeah,
did they
that
ever
was
put him
where,
on the other side? Maybe they didn't.
I saw that picture, the one where he's going up against, I think it was the center and the guard. And both guys have their hands like up in his grill. And I think
managed a real bad hold.
I think he still managed to get through that one. Like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to overreact to one game and say the Lions suck now, or Green Bay is the best team in the NFL now. But that's what it looked like after week one. I mean, I'm saying it like I saw it. That looked like a very one-sided affair of a very good team beating up on a very bad team is what it looked like. And I don't think that's the case for the Lions. Whether or not it's the case for the Packers, I think we might find out tomorrow already on Thursday Night Football, because we're going up against, you know, a top four team from last year. They're one game away from the Super Bowl and the Commanders. So if we can have that kind of defensive performance against them, and I mean, their defense isn't nearly as good as the Lions. So if our offense can get clicking even more, then my hype will be out of control. It's already pretty high, but it'll be out of control at that point.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels is definitely going to be a serious test for this defense. Jared Goff's not the most mobile guy, so this is something completely different.
Yep.
But I also think it's going to be a good like litmus test for the Eagles to see how we, because I think if any team is most likely like Philly, it's probably Washington. Yeah, I'm excited for that game tomorrow night.
Not even the Eagles, too. Like, I mean, we would have to get through them. Presumably, we would have to beat them in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. But if we get to the Super Bowl, it's almost certainly going to be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Patrick Mahomes. And I know Mahomes isn't really like known as the runner like the other two, but that dude does have legs, and he's pretty quick. And when he scrambles, he's fast. So, I mean, you're going to have to go through those kind of quarterbacks. This, like you said, this is going to be a great test of how we deal with that kind of quarterback, and we get to do it early on.
I just happen to think in the same breath, kind of a tough start for Washington having to go up against the Giants front four and then the Packers front four in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah,
that's a rough one. And the Giants Giants are nothing like Green Bay. So,
well, Green Bay has an offense to go with their defense, which helps the defense, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Helps them stay off the field and get rested. Although not when you do shit like that one drive where we two plays threw the defense back on the field because we scored.
Yeah. Defense really didn't seem to mind too much when they got back on the field, though.
But yeah, great start for the Packers this year. I'm also just going to say it's nice to finally feel like we're better than the Lions again after 3 years of feeling like the inferior team in the division.
Yeah, after going 1-5 in the division last year, come out and dominate like that, that felt great.
Yeah, I mean, 1-5 in the division last year, but I mean, just the last 3 years, I know we've gotten some wins over the Lions, but I've felt like they've been the better team for at least the last 2 years. Probably, I don't know, even the 3 years ago, that was Rodgers last year.
I was going to say, I think,
and we weren't that great that year.
I feel like this is the most dominant division win since peak Rodgers.
Yeah. It feels like we might be back atop the division finally. And that was not the case. The Lions have reigned supreme there for a while.
Yeah. and then Minnesota coming out of nowhere last year.
Yeah, if they do that again this year, I don't even. O'Connell just deserves Coach of the Year for the rest of his tenure at that point.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, I guess we can jump into the other divisional matchup. We had Monday Night Football. We had the Bears versus the Vikings, and this is like a tale of two separate games, essentially. There was the first 3.5 quarters, and there was the final 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
The first 3.5 quarters was just dog shit football. It was so boring. The Bears did score on their opening drive, and actually they looked fantastic on their opening drive. When this game started, I was like, shit, are the Bears actually going to be fucking good this year? That was just right down the field, touchdown, easy. I don't think Caleb Williams missed a throw for that drive. I was like, shit, is this really what... I couldn't believe it. And I was proven right for the rest of the next two quarters. I mean, they didn't look great. Nobody was scoring anything. On the other side, J.J. McCarthy didn't look great. He was missing open guys. Caleb was also missing open guys. I mean, Caleb, he scrambles around, and once in a while he does like an awesome throw, but so many times he scrambles around and does the dumbest shit. Just way overthrows a guy or throws it way behind him. It's so bizarre to watch, and I honestly don't know. I really question if that guy's going to make it last in the NFL.
I agree with you. He, like in the first half, it like when things were going according to plan, he was fine. Still missing some throws here and there. But then I feel like once, you know, crunch time and you need him to be clutch, he kind of goes to pieces. At least I think that's what we've seen so far from Caleb Williams. I think jury's out on him yet. I think that all the talent in the world, I think, is there. You can see it. But, yeah, is he going to have it really between the ears when they need him to?
Yeah, it's just something. It's like as soon as the first guy starts peeking past his O-line, like, he just scrambles and, like, just the reads are just done. And then he scrambles for a long time, and he's great at it. I mean, he is good at avoiding getting sacked. Well, actually, he's not. He got sacked fucking 80 times last season. But, I mean, he's good at scrambling, even so. And, yeah, once in a while, I guess those hero throws. But, like, so often, it's like, just finish the play, man. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope Ben Johnson... I don't hope Ben Johnson can coach him into being somebody good. But that's what Bears fans are hoping.
Yeah, I think Chicago's one big question mark right now. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, that was a tale of two halves. Well, you can't really say it was a tale of like three quarters and one quarter.
I mean, not even a full quarter. It was like the last 10 minutes of the game is when, finally the Vikings just, I mean, J.J. McCarthy just decided like, oh, I'm actually good at football. Just started playing dominant. It was so bizarre. I mean, if he turned it off for it, I wouldn't blame anyone who turned it off. That game was boring to watch. Just nobody was doing anything. It was just so many three and outs, so many like five and outs. You know, nothing was happening. It was just a bunch of punts and field goals, essentially. And then all of a sudden in the final 10 minutes, J.J. McCarthy was just hitting everything. Three touchdowns. I mean, it was a little more than 10 minutes. It might have been like 12 minutes. But I mean, it was into the fourth quarter, and he turned it on. He ran one in. At that point, the Vikings looked like legitimately scary team. And if they are that again, I will be kind of annoyed. Like, it makes sense, I guess. They clearly let Sam Darnold go, so they must know that J.J. McCarthy is good. Otherwise, why would they have let him leave? Like, they could have kept him, and they didn't. So they must know something more than the rest of us do. But yeah, perhaps the Vikings were pulling that one out. They looked like they were sunk.
Yeah, obviously 14-3 last year. They had a really good defense, and then they went out and got Hargrave, and who else did they get? I don't remember the second guy, but they definitely upgraded their defensive line.
What was their draft last year? Who did they take in the first round? Was that O-line or?
I do not remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Off the top of my head.
I mean, regardless, it's still an impressive win. And you've been on the road, you beat the division opponent. And the division opponent came out hot, too. And I mean, part of it might just be good coaching. Kevin O'Connell adjusted and got the team rolling in the second half, and the Bears came out hot and then fizzled, and in the second half they did not turn it back on at all.
It almost seemed like a tale of two cultures. Like, you had Minnesota looked much, much better coached come crunch time than what the Bears did. But I mean, I mean the Bears have just had that culture forever where they just keep trying and keep trying and nothing ever works out. And, you know, I understand this is, you know, whole new year, whole new team and everything, but I don't know. Top Bears.
it kind of was with the Bears. Cause, I mean, even at the end of the game too, they had that, when they kicked off and they didn't just kick it out of bounds or out the back of the end zone. So they allowed Minnesota to run it out and just run enough time off the clock where it's like, now the game's over, dude. Like, you just, like, you probably went to one anyways, but it's like you just ended it by allowing that to happen. Like, I guess it's a poor decision.
I get the kick was supposed to go out the back of the end zone, but, like, if you really don't think you're going to get it there, just kick it out of bounds. It's only an extra 5 yards. It's at the 40 instead of the 35. At that point, I mean, what's 5 yards?
Yeah, either way, you need the three and out. So it's either on the 35 or the 40, but it doesn't matter. Like, you can't risk them running out and then getting to run the extra seconds off the clock before your guys get down there and make a tackle. Just, I mean, that's classic Bears decision. It's like whoever goes to the Bears just loses the ability to make decisions in crunch time.
Yeah. Kind of have to wonder if that was just a rookie head coach mistake.
Or I mean, it could be. Yeah.
If he just incorrectly assumed his kicker was going to boot it out of the end zone, I don't know.
I mean, but yeah, it's on the coach. But yeah, I mean, he is a first-year head coach, so I mean, sometimes I guess you don't... There's a lot on your plate, like, for sure, so I can understand. I guess I get it, but still, don't make that decision. It's just weird.
Yeah. Agreed.
So yeah, that's the division. As always, the Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck.
Packers, Vikings are on top, 1-0. Bears and Lions tied at 0-1. Shit. Yeah, dude, I still can't believe Mike Parsons is a Packer. That's so insane to me.
Yeah.
Still just every so often it dawns on me, I'm like, damn, that's crazy. That's so crazy.
That was, even just watching it on TV, that was surreal, watching him come out last from the tunnel and that Lambeau just exploded. Like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Any other matches you want to talk about this week? I mean, there were some pretty good ones. Sunday night game was good. I fucking fell asleep. I went to bed. Thought it was over.
Yeah, I think I left your place at the end of the third quarter, and I got home, and I turned it back on, and I kind of had it on the background when I was getting ready for bed, and I laid down, and all of a sudden, Buffalo's kicking, or Matt Prater, of all people, is kicking the game-winning field goal. Like, what is even happening? Like, what did I just miss?
Yeah. The Ravens, I feel like it's the team that's become, they're becoming known for finding a way to lose. Despite all odds.
I don't know. Like, I'm also genuinely surprised that was that high scoring of a game. I thought both teams had better defenses than that.
Yeah, right. And usually defenses have the advantage in week one. Like, offenses usually aren't clicking on full cylinders.
I guess it just goes to show you how awesome Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen both are. I mean, my goodness.
I do think that's part of it, because, I mean, their kind of offense can actually work extremely well in week one. When the play breaks down, I mean, those guys are, that's who they are. They find a little crease and chunk you for 15 yards all of a sudden. Or buy enough time and find a wide open receiver for 25 yards because they ran around for 15 seconds and the DBs couldn't cover for long enough.
I just got a feel for Baltimore. Back-to-back seasons, opening week, losing in heartbreaking fashion. The major AFC rivals, because last year they opened against Kansas City. That was the likely, Isaiah Likely toe touchdown that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they blow a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter this year. Ugh. Well, how often does Derrick Henry fumble? Like, never?
I know. that's what I mean. Like, they just find these magical ways to blow games. It's like, there's no way they can lose this. It's like the three stupidest low-odd things imagined will all happen. And then sure as shit, they do. I mean, other than that...
There really aren't too... There weren't really too many other games that stuck out.
Chargers beat the Chiefs opening night. Something. I mean, the Chargers... I know it was a Brazil game, but Chargers looked like the better team in that game. Chiefs didn't look great. They only lost by 6, but I didn't think they looked very good.
Hey, that was good to see. And it was actually nice to see Harbaugh air it out. Like, just let Justin Herbert cook. Let him do his thing. And it certainly paid off. I mean, it sounds like they've got the running back or the running game to complement, but it was good to see Herbert get out and do his thing for once.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, he was like a top 2 quarterback in fantasy, maybe top 3, like 2 years ago. And last year, I mean, they just ran the ball a lot more, and he wasn't that relevant. But I mean, if they're going to be doing what they did week 1, and I don't know if that was the product of they recognized the weakness on the Chiefs, and they thought throwing the ball would be more effective. But yeah, dude was slinging it. And they looked good. Their offense looked great.
We know Kansas City, they'll be there. I mean,
probably. Well, not according to my bold prediction.
I feel for any Xavier worthy owners out there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, getting taken out by your own guy like that. My goodness.
Yeah, like first 3 plays of the game too.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
I know. I saw a lot of screenshots the last week of guys who were starting AJ Brown and Xavier Worthy and got like a whopping 1.8 points out of both of them.
Yeah. There were a lot of busts. There's a lot of dud kind of games from stars. We'll get into that in the fantasy half of the show, though.
Yeah.
But the other matchups, there was the Colts-Dolphins, where the Dolphins just looked like either the Colts are very good or the Dolphins are absolute dog shit. I kind of lean more towards the latter. I don't think the Colts just got that fucking good in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can have faith in Danny Dimes. I think the Dolphins are ass. Kind of sounds like the players are giving up on the coach. I'd kind of be surprised if McDaniel lasts the season in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, if you have too many more performances like that, they'll switch it because they have to. They have to do something to light a fire under the players' asses if they're losing all faith of winning. I don't even know if it's the coach. I think Tua is just fucking throwing the ball around like a madman out there. He looked awful.
Yeah, and throughout his career, Tua's been pretty accurate. So to see him that off was concerning.
Yeah, and they had all that off-season shit too with Tyreek Hill bitching and wanting to leave and everything, and then he just kind of winds up back on the team. I mean, that can't be good for the morale of a team. Just too much, too many red flags down there. I think that team's toast for now.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got the Patriots coming up this week at home, so I think that'll be more of a test to see what they're really like. But yeah, I'm not expecting much out of Miami.
Same. Steelers looked good. Aaron Rodgers looked good. In all honesty, they were playing against the Jets and they barely beat them with a game-winning 60-yard field goal. But nevertheless, I mean, I feel like the Steelers' defense is usually pretty good. They were not doing a good job containing Justin Fields and his scrambles. But Rodgers looked pretty decent. DK looked good. I mean, their offense looked good. I think their defense will figure it out. Tomlin never really has a bad defense. So the Steelers could be something. If Rodgers can keep doing that, I don't know if he can for a whole season. But that was a very good opener by him, nonetheless.
Yeah, I was surprised considering how bad he looked in New York last year. Yeah, he seems to really be clicking with that Pittsburgh offense. I got to be honest, I think both Pittsburgh and the Jets could be playoff teams this year. I was more, I think, so impressed with the Jets and how they looked. Pittsburgh's always a tough game. Fields looked really good. He looks like he's got good command of that offense. Aaron Glenn definitely seems to have brought a much better attitude to that team, I guess. The Jets look good. I'm kind of interested to seeing what Fields can do with that team throughout the rest of the year.
I disagree. I don't trust the Jets one bit. I don't trust Fields one bit. I think he's good when he has those scrambling games. But when you ask him to throw it, I don't think he's good enough. I think he makes very poor decisions and he throws it inaccurately. Like that, he almost fucking got Garrett Wilson carted off the field that one time. Like he just throws him a murder ball with fucking Ramsey just barreling down on him. I was like, oh man, you can't be doing that to your receivers. They're going to lose faith in you too, and then you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, that was the very last play. That's right. That was the very last play of the game. almost getting Garrett Wilson killed. Yeah, and that was watching Jalen Ramsey. That was actually kind of impressive. He looks like he's going to be a force on that Pittsburgh defense. He was flying around all over the place.
Yeah, he looked good. I'm curious if he keeps it up all year. But yeah, he looked really great in week one. He's older, though, and I question if he can keep that speed up all season long. But we know he's capable. I mean, much like Rodgers, he's kind of past his prime, but you know what he can do if he's in the zone.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the only other one I got here is, I guess, Bengals and Browns, because the Bengals actually won their opening game for once, barely, yeah. Against the Browns.
Yeah, and they didn't exactly look great doing it, but I tell you what, Cleveland's defense is no joke either.
That's true.
I mean, Myles Garrett looked every bit as dominant as he always has been. That one towards the end of the game when they needed to stop, they sacked Burrow three times in a row, and Garrett had two of those.
Yeah, that was nuts.
I think since he's gonna be fine, they're too good on offense.
Really. I think so too. But they're just, I don't know, for since Burrow's whole career, like they lose the first two games of the season almost every time. I think they've won like one out of the last eight or ten. It was an insane stat. Of the first 2 weeks of the season, they've won like one game out of the last 10. Just a pathetic amount. And honestly, like, that cost them playoff appearances. It cost them the playoff appearance last year because they fucked up and let the Patriots beat them week one.
Yeah.
And they missed the playoffs by a game. Like, you can't start out that slow. Especially in their division. Like, their division, those guys all play each other part of shit. And you never know when the Browns or the Steelers are going to beat you, even if you are the superior team. Nine times out of ten. Not to mention, you got to go up against the Ravens twice, which is never easy for anybody. Nonetheless, someone in your division.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah, having to go to Pittsburgh and Baltimore every year is... no.
And Cleveland, even. I mean, Cleveland plays them hard. Like, Cleveland beats them way more than you would think, given the skill disparity between the two teams.
And I gotta be honest,
AFC North.
Even considering how old he is, Flacco didn't actually look terrible.
I mean, Flacco, yeah, the dude just won't quit. I'm curious if he starts all season. But props to him for being out there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Especially with Hendrickson chasing you down constantly.
I think he will, as long as he stays healthy. With them letting Kenny Pickett go, from what I saw from Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, I don't think Flacco's in any danger unless he ends up getting hurt.
Yeah. Do you think the rookies are just going to sit all season?
I think so. If Cleveland were smart, I think that would be the best way to go.
I could see if they're like, I mean, if it's week 8 to 10 and they're already out of it, like out of contention, then they might let some of the rookies start playing just to see.
I suppose, yeah, that wouldn't be a terrible idea.
But I can't imagine they even think they're in contention currently, so maybe not. Maybe they want the rookies to sit and learn for a year and not put them in there intentionally.
I mean, who knows? Maybe, who knows? With that, if Cleveland's defense is legit, they're always going to be able to keep them in games.
Yeah, true. But I don't... Nobody can realistically say the Browns are, like, the Super Bowl contender this year. Playoffs, sure. Right. But there's no way they're making it through the rest of the AFC.
No, I'd be surprised if they ended up with a winning record, to be honest. But who knows?
Yeah, I think that's about it. I guess there was Thursday night kickoff. We had Cowboys-Eagles. That was actually a very good game. I was surprised the Cowboys did as well as they did. I thought they were going to be a joke of a team this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the biggest shock I had coming out of that game was CeeDee Lamb's, what, 4 drops?
Yeah, I know. That never happens, too. And if he doesn't do that, they almost certainly would have won the game if it weren't for that.
Yeah.
and he doesn't do that. Like, that is not, he does not drop the ball often. No. So they have 4 of them. And two, like, on what would have been the game-winning drive, essentially.
I do think Dallas missed Parsons, most definitely, just on account of how often Jalen Hurts had time to throw. I mean, every time he dropped back, it's almost like he had all day back there. Mm-hmm. But it's not like he did much with it other than his runs where he was
scrambles.
Able to score.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like he didn't threaten anybody through the air. I think Dallas Goedert had a good game. AJ Brown did not. Devontae Smith did not. I mean, Barkley's always going to get his, but
he didn't even get that much either.
Offensively, I was kind of surprised at how meh Philly came out and played that game.
Yeah. And even on, like, yeah, especially after the Super Bowl, like, they were letting it rip in the Super Bowl and looking dominant with that. And that this game was just all, yeah, play breaks down. Jalen Hurts is fast and he scrambles and gets the first down. That seemed to be most of the game.
Yeah. Well, he also, I just happen to remember Jalen Carter got booted first play, you know, 7
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, too, like, Eagles defense didn't look anything like it did in the Super Bowl, where they were just plowing Mahomes constantly. Because, I mean, Dak had time, but yeah, Carter was out for the entire game. So, I mean, and you're going to miss a dude like that. That's a lot of your quarterback pressure gone when he's not in the game. But Eagles still secured the win. Divisional game. It's an important one for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and even though they didn't play their best, they still beat a tough team. So, yeah, we'll see. Right now, obviously, I think Green Bay is the best team in the NFC. Just by eye test week 1. Yeah, I don't know. It was good to see.
I mean, they looked like it in week 1. That's for sure. That's all I got for week 1 recap. Yeah. If you want to do any predictions for next week or
make a
bet on something.
Oh goodness.
We can bet on more shots, but
like,
if it's me and you, I guess the winner can do the shot.
I am. I'm checking out the. I haven't looked at the entire slate of games for next week.
Packers, Commanders, right, Thursday Night Football. Which I'm very excited for.
I mean, I'm obviously taking Green Bay. I think top to bottom, they're the better team. I think they'll be able to stop Washington on offense, and I think they'll have enough of offense of their own to overpower Washington's defense. Yeah, I'm taking Green Bay.
Well, I'm not picking the Commanders, so I can't make that bet.
No. I'm looking through the rest of the games, trying to pick one that would be a good... Oh, that's right. There's two Monday night games.
It's weird they do that. It's Eagles Chiefs.
I was just thinking that.
I'd probably take the Eagles. The Chiefs look so bad week one.
I don't know. I don't know if I can take the Chiefs that game. Goodness.
What's one that I think will be an upset? About Giants over the Cowboys.
If you want to take Giants, I'll take that one. I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Giants.
They probably will, but I'll take there's going to be an upset. I could see that. I could see that being an upset. Cowboys come out week one, looked way better than expected, and then run into a juggernaut defense and look like dumbasses. I could see that happening. But I don't know how the Giants are going to score any points. Whatever, Mary took it. He said, Coach said Russell Wilson's still the starter, right?
Yeah. He definitely said Russell Wilson's good to go for week two.
Damn it. Yeah. Well, he's got to hope for a miracle Russ game. Or maybe Russ will get bunched in the second half and then... I don't know. One of the other guys, they want to put Jackson Dart in, see what he's got.
Yeah.
Doubtful. But possible.
I still think Dart's going to be starting by like week six, but we'll see. I'll say I kind of wish Jim were here because then we could do Bears Lions.
Yeah. Someone else will be starting for that team pretty quickly if there's another game like that. Like, you still have Jameis Winston there, but you can put him in. Like, if Russ just looks like garbage again next week and you don't want to start Jackson Dart yet, I could see that happening too.
I thought Jackson Dart was listed as the backup and Jameis was number three.
Yeah, but every team does that with Jameis because nobody wants the fans rumbling to put Jameis in. Even though everyone does anyways.
It's very true. Be honest, you put Jameis in, it'll probably pump up that offense.
I mean, crowds, everyone loves Jameis, just not the NFL teams because he just throws too many pick sixes and loses the game. But he's so much more fun to watch. It's a way more entertaining game when he's in there.
Oh, most definitely.
But yeah, we get on the NFL chat down there.
Okay.
And then, so I kind of mentioned it. We're doing two podcasts a week now. So we'll have all the fantasy stuff in the next episode. So until then, enjoy your Jameis Winston quote of the week and... Bye, everybody.
Yeah. We'll talk to you later. Have a good one, everybody.
Yeah! Yeah! What are they? What's that? What? Terrible, what's that? Somebody jump off sides, damn!